Praise boss when morning work bells chime. Praise him for bits of overtime. Praise him whose wars we love to fight. Praise him, fat leech and parasite. Amen.
Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash, and on Building Bridges, the Wobblies got it right with Utah Phillips.
It was Joe Hill's best song. So we almost missed the damn thing. Chorus is, there is power in a band of working folks when we stand hand in hand. That's a power that must rule in every land. One industrial union grand. I'll teach you the chorus.
There is power in a band of working folk when we stand hand in hand. That's a power that must rule in every land. One industrial union grand.
Have you got that again? You understand the chorus? Everybody got it now? All right.
Oh, would you have freedom from wage slavery and come join the grand industrial band? How would you from misery and hunger be free? Come on, do you share land to hand? There is power in a band of working folk when we stand hand in hand. That's a power that must rule in every land. One industrial union brand. Have mansions of gold in the sky and live in a shack that's away in the back. Or would you have wings up in heaven to fly and start here with a rack on your back? But there is power in a band of working folk when we stand hand in hand. That's a power that must rule in every land. One industrial union grand. Oh, if you like sluggers to feed in your head, don't organize, all union despise. If you want nothing before you are dead, shake hands with your boss and look wise. But there is power in a band of working folk when we stand hand in hand. All ye workers from every land, and come join the grand industrial band. Then we our share of this earth shall demand. Come on, do your share, lend a hand. There is power in a band of working folk when we stand hand in hand. That's a power that must rule in every land. One industrial union brand.
Power to union.
Well, you're listening to a chorus which includes Utah Phillips. Utah, one of the great songwriters, singers, storytellers, labor historians, and a consummate wobbly. Yep, they got it right. The industrial workers of the world, long before the AFL-CIO, and actually the AFL-CIO has much to learn from the Wobblies, who are now celebrating their 100th birthday. Welcome, Utah Phillips.
Well, thank you very, very much. May I gently correct you? The AFL was founded a good bit before the IWW by Sam Gompers. The IWW was started as an alternative to the American Federation of Labor on the principle of industrial organization rather than craft organization.
Now, you're going to have to tell some of our listeners who don't understand that distinction why that's important.
Well, look at it this way. Take the strike there at Northwest Airlines. How many crafts represented there. You know, there's the machinists, there's the baggage handlers, there's maybe four different or five different unions, craft unions that are represented there. You've got your machinists have walked out. That union has walked out, you know, on strike. Have the other unions gone off the job? No. You know, they're still going into work. What would it be like if there was one international airline workers industrial union? In other words, everybody that was involved in the airline industry, from pilots down to janitors, belonged to the same union. What would your bargaining potential be? You might wind up owning an airline. It's an industrial organization, and it's going on today. We are not an anachronism or a voice out of the past. The IWW has always been here for the past 100 years, since 1905. I just came from Philadelphia, from the General Assembly of the IWW, the 100th. Most of my time spent there was with the South Street Workers Union, which is organized by the IWW. This is a tourist street, South Street, with all the boutiques and upscale stores and restaurants. And instead of organizing, say, through the clerk's craft union or through the janitorial craft union, what they have done is organized South Street. Anybody in those stores, working behind those counters, working in those stock rooms, belonging to one union, the IWW. And that union is, the South Street Workers Union, is growing and is going to succeed on that basis, on the basis of the essential solidarity of the people who are working on that street.
Utah, the song that we opened the set out with, Power in the Union, that was written by a guy named Joe Hill.
Hill wrote that, yeah, before about 1910.
So who was Joe Hill?
Well, Joel Emanuel Hägglund was his name, born in Gävle, Sweden. Learned English on the tramp steamers. He used to work with his brother between England and Sweden. They immigrated to the United States before 1900. By 1909 and 1910, Joe Hill had joined the Industrial Workers of the World. He had changed his name to Joseph Hillstrom, then Joe Hill. Boomed all over the country doing all kinds of jobs. And when he joined the union, began taking old hymn tunes generally, or pop tunes like Casey Jones, and writing union organizing songs. And those songs, well, the IWW became a singing union. It still is. Those songs of Joe Hill's are still used to open and close meetings in European unions, although they're a little sung by the American labor movement. Joe Hill fought in the Tijuana Rebellion, the effort to turn Southern California into a commune. It was part of Baja California in Southern California. It was part of the Mexican Revolution. He was wounded in that fracas, came to Salt Lake City to recuperate. There he was framed up on a murder charge, the murder of a grocery store owner named Morrison. And it was a real frame-up, but Governor Spry had vowed to bust the IWW out of the state forever, and Joe Hill was the scapegoat. Two vicious, fixed trials. I've read the transcripts. You know, I was the archivist in Utah for 8 years, and all the records were in front of me. And Joe Hill was, you know, couldn't get a new trial in spite of appeals from President Woodrow Wilson and the Swedish ambassador and 75,000 letters from working organizations all over the world. He was executed November 19, 1915 by a firing squad. And he wrote a letter to Big Bill Haywood, the general secretary of the IWW. He said, "Bill, don't mourn for me, but organize." He said, "Bill, promise me one thing. When they kill me, you'll take my body over the border into Wyoming because I don't want to get caught dead in Utah." His body was cremated. Ashes were sent all over the world wherever working people were organizing. We discovered one package of Joe Hill's ashes in the National Archives, and we petitioned the union to get them back. And I went to Washington to retrieve Joe's ashes. They gave them to me in a cold cream jar because they said the envelope was a permanent public record. We passed it again out through the union. Some of the ashes went to old A.L. Artners, the oldest living wobbly in Missoula, Montana, and I visited him on the freight trains from Spokane. And I said, "Art, did you get the ashes?" And he said, "Yeah, I want to see him." And he took out this tiny package, took a pinch of them, and threw them in the hole in my guitar. So,
okay.
Which means I can't play the guitar in Utah because Joe Hill wrote, Big Bill Haywood said, "Take me and my body over the border in Wyoming because I don't want to get caught dead in Utah."
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, live as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. In Salt Lake, Joe, great God, says I, am standing by my bed. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, but I ain't dead. Says Joe, but I ain't dead.
Or the copper bosses, they framed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe, I did not die. Says Joe, I did not die. And is standing there just as big as life, a-smiling with his eyes. Says he what they forgot to kill, went on to organize, went on to organize. From San Diego on up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where workers strike and organize, says he, you'll find Joe Hill. Says he, you'll find Joe Hill. Yeah, dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, live as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead, it never died, says he. I never died, says he.
You know, what I hear and what I hear in the opening song of Joe Hill and what I hear in your spirit and the difference, it seems to me, with the AFL-CIO is that concept of empowerment, empowerment of the workers, empowerment towards the end of societal transformation on behalf of the working class, which is a notion that seems to be dormant coming from the organized labor sector.
It's desperately important that the AFL, AFL-CIO, the unions, that the mainstream unions become active in the curricular process in their public schools. We've seen how a small handful of people in the religious right can take over a school board, can take over a PTA. Labor's got to learn a lesson from that and get in there and make sure that our history and our culture, workers' culture, is taught to our children in our schools. They are public schools. And the first thing that those kids got to learn, there's no excuse for any kid coming out of high school not knowing what a scab is. No excuse for not knowing that you have the right to form
a replacement
labor union to organize. You know, that you have, that there are workers' rights, that you can control the condition of your labor. And the major task is to reestablish that definition of the working class. Now, in these, the waning days of Babylon, as Eldridge Cleaver called them, we have somehow redefined class, or rather the boss and mass media and the politicians have redefined class as income level. That's sloppy thinking. It doesn't work. Where does that slide to? No, class is defined by your relationship to the means of production. If you don't own the machine you work at, if you don't own the tools you work with, don't own the workplace, if all you're selling is your labor energy to get a wage and a boss, you're in the working class, whether you're a college professor or a ditch digger, and that's that. Knowing that is class consciousness. The issues that you share between college professor and ditch digger in common and how they relate to the employer, that's class analysis. How you act that out is class struggle. And we have to reestablish those definitions that are accurate, that really describe who we are, because they've been taken away from us.
Is there aught we hold in common with the greedy parasite who would lash us into serfdom and would crush us with his might? Is there anything left to us but to organize and fight? For the union makes us strong. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us strong. It is we who plowed the prairies, built the cities where they trade, dug the mines and built the workshops, endless miles of railroad laid. We stand outcast and starve amidst the wonders we have made, but the union makes us strong. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us strong. All the world that's owned by idle drones is ours and ours alone. We have laid the wide foundation, built it skyward stone by stone. It is ours not to slave in, but to master and to own, while the union makes us strong. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the they have taken untold millions that they never toiled to earn. But without our brain and muscle, not a single wheel can turn. We can break their haughty power, gain our freedom when we learn that the union makes us strong. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us strong. In our hands is placed a power greater than their hoarded gold, greater than the might of armies magnified a thousandfold. We can bring to birth a new world from the ashes of the old, for the union makes us strong. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us strong.
And I should say, this is Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. We're speaking with Utah Phillips.
And the Wobblies came out against the war, the First World War, too, right?
Well, that's one of the reasons why the Feds tried to destroy us. And they did a pretty good job. We really got hammered in 1919. 5,000 of our members were in jail. Bill Haywood jumped bail because he knew they'd kill him in prison, Cook County Jail in Chicago, and wound up in the Soviet Union. And by 1924, most of our editorial staff and the newspaper had gone over to the newly formed Communist Party. But the IWW has stuck with it and stuck with it and stuck with it. And by God, starting around 1965, from being essentially a caretaker's club of very elderly gentlemen and women, the union began to grow again, and it's still growing. It's a marvel to me. It's my proudest association. And one of the reasons for that is that it was a union that never broke faith with its elders, the people who created the ideas, who really went to the wall for the union, loggers, miners, Frank Little, great Jack Miller in Seattle, Phil Melman in San Francisco. The elders in this union were still living when I joined the union 51 years ago. And I made a point, my self-appointed task was to seek them out and learn their stories and learn the songs and learn the poems and try to capture that spirit and bring it forward into our time.
Are you cold, forlorn, and hungry? Are there lots of things you lack? Is your life made up of misery? Then dump the bosses off your back. Are your clothes all torn and tattered? Are you living in a shack? Would you have your troubles scattered? Then dump the bosses off your back. Are you almost split asunder? Loaded like a long-eared jack? Boob, why don't you buck like thunder and dump the bosses off your back? All the agonies you suffer, you could end with one good whack. Stiffen up, you ornery duffer, and dump the bosses off your back. Ba-ba-ba.
And the Wobblies are in New York City also. They've been organizing Starbucks. Are they doing that around the country also?
Yes, there's a real Starbucks organizing campaign going on. And we're getting a good response to that, a very good response to that. There's a real screaming need for people working in places like Starbucks and in fast food places to get organized. And, you know, the kids coming out of school that are working in these places don't know anything about what a union is. And they've got to be taught, you know, that a union is a way to get things done together. You can't get done alone. And one of those things you get done together is to be able to take control of your working schedule, be able to take control of your, have some control over your wages, over your hours, and the conditions that you work under.
Utah, let me ask you this. You continue to be fired up. You continue to have an indomitable spirit and a belief in the working class. Now, it seems to me that there are too many people who are rather contemptuous of labor and don't understand its potential power. So what do you say to them?
The people who are contemptuous of labor very often are in the working class, as I just defined it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to think that they are. They would prefer to be defined out of it, you know, like college professors. But damn it, you know, they've got to understand that they are us and we are them. We are all of us in this kind of economy, suspended above the street on our own separate set of threads. And not one of us knows what would have to happen to cut those threads and drop us down into the alley, drop us down into the homeless shelter, drop us down into the doorway. It's happening all around us, you know, to people of our class. And one of the geniuses of capitalism is the ability to keep the working class divided, to keep it fighting against itself. And it's of a central struggle in the labor movement now. It's to come together. One of my struggles inside of my own union is to bring the AFL and the IWW back together on the basis of issues. Like I just said, was talking about the South Street Workers Union. This is mainly third world people working under abysmal conditions. They needed money. So I was in Philadelphia at a garden party doing a private concert in a beautiful house, and all of the people I was singing to, 50 of them, were union executives from the craft unions all over town, like AFSCME and the Writers Union and so on. And they knew what they were given to, and we raised $1,500 for an IWW local. Now, okay, that's what we should be doing. What we're faced with is not just creeping fascism, it's galloping fascism. And we're going to be overwhelmed by it if we don't come together, if we don't recognize that capitalism deliberately works at keeping us divided and keeps us fighting against each other. Our task is nothing less than rebuilding a united front, rebuilding the progressive movement. The progressive movement during the 1930s came together at the bottom in the midst of a Great Depression. People put their differences on the shelves and united it. Out of that progressive movement came Social Security, workers' compensation, minimum wage, unemployment insurance. We've done it before. We've got to do it again. We've already demonstrated that we do have the power when we're properly organized. So I guess you could say the IWW's idea is not just to organize the unorganized, but to reorganize the misorganized.
And one of the ways to do that is to go to the IWW website, which is really chock full of information, not only on the history, but also on the current activities of the IWW, and also go to Utah Phillips' website, utahphillips.org, to learn more about Utah Phillips, his song, and his law, and how we can keep on organizing and dump the bosses off our back.
That's it.
Thank you so much.
We're going to get you on for a whole hour because, really, you are the personification of the best of the spirit and the potential of the working class movement in this country.
I'm ready. Call me anytime you want.
You got it. You asked for it. And we've been speaking with the one and only, very special, Utah Phillips. Thanks for keeping on keeping on.
Thank you.
Thanks a whole lot for you doing the same thing.
A long-haired preacher's come out every night, try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they will answer in voices so sweet. Hey,
by and by,
in that glorious land in the sky,
work and pray,
live on hay. You'll get pie in the sky when you die.
That's a lie.
Now, Joe Hill was executed by the state of Utah November 19th, 1915, for writing songs like this. Huh? But he left them to us. These are our people's songs. So you damn well ought to learn how to sing it, don't you think? Huh? It's done Baptist style. There must be some Baptists around here somewhere. You understand what I mean? Are there any Baptists here? Good. But answer back. I sing out a line, and then you sing it back, and then we sing a line together. All right? And you follow these guys. You will eat.
You will eat.
By and by.
By and by.
In that glorious land in the sky.
Way up high.
Work and pray.
Work and pray.
Live on hay.
Live on hay.
You'll get pie in the sky when you die.
That's a lie.
Yeah, real vociferous on that last part, all right? And the Starvation Army they play. and they shout and they clap and they praise. Now when they've got all your coins on the drum, and they will tell you when you're on the bum. You will eat by and by, in that glorious land in the sky.
Way up high,
work and pray,
live on hay.
You'll get pie in the sky when you die.
That's a lie.
Holy rollers and jumpers come out, and they roll and they jump and they shout. I give your money to Jesus, they say, and you'll eat on that glorious day. Hey,
you will eat
by and by, in that glorious land in the sky.
Work and pray,
live on hay. You'll get pie in the sky when you die.
That's a lie.
Working folks of all countries unite. Side by side, we for freedom shall fight. When this world and its wealth we have gained, to the grafters we'll sing this refrain.
You will eat
by and by. When you've learned how to cook and how to fry. Chop some wood.
Do you good.
And you'll eat in that sweet by and by.
Well, I'll tell you, Utah Phillips was on that one telling us we'll get by in the sky when we die. Ha! That's a lie indeed.
So come all ye workers from every land and come join the grand.
I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash, and it's Building Bridges.
Your community and labor report.
Come on, do your share, lend a hand. There is power in a man to work and folk. When we stand hand in hand, that's the power that must rule in every land. One industrial union.